Robert? Can you hear me, Robert?
I can, loud and clear.
Yes, on behalf of MOWW, we all want to thank you for the excellent work you're doing to keep us abreast of meetings in anticipation of these meetings. That's been a great help, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I apologize a bit. I'm still learning. You're my first BCC, so I am trying to keep up. And just a kind of a pre-meeting announcement I was going to make tonight is that Delma has been moved to another BCC, the magistrates, which she worked for about, I think, 10 or 12 years, and they needed her there. So I'm now, while I'm still learning, training a new staff you'll meet this evening named Amari. And she's behind me. We're sharing a little office here for the purpose of this meeting.
That's why she was CC'd on that note earlier. I was like,
yeah. We've kind of been transitioning from Delma to Amari. And so it is 6 o'clock p.m., and if we have 7 members, then we do. We have a quorum if you'd like to begin, Chair. I do have the statement, the opening statement to read before roll call.
Yes, please.
All right. Let me make sure we're recording. We are. The Veterans Affairs Committee meeting has now commenced. It is September 13th, 2023 at 6:01 p.m. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19. To allow for social distancing and protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak, to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not by using the chat function. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right. So with that, can we start roll call?
Martlin?
Carrie. A lot of feedback.
Did you go work in building? I'm getting such an echo on it, I can't tell.
Yeah, you might not need that. I'll go ahead and do roll call. We're having a problem with the mic on the other system. So, Martin Belden?
Here.
Carrie Byron.
Present.
Cassie Diaz. Ann Hollis.
Here.
Henry Johnson.
Here.
Rosie Carey.
Here.
James Lewis. Melvin Morgan. Lorraine Obregon.
Here.
Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Gary Smith. And Georgia Weiss. And so, Chair, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 members present, we have quorum.
Excellent. Thank you to the members for joining tonight, and thank you for that, Robert and Amari. Welcome to the team here. All right, so with that, we will. We now have a quorum. We will start our meeting. Henry, can you please do the invocation for us?
I think he's on mute.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for caring for us over this summer. Please guide us in our deliverance during this meeting, and may we be heard by the mayor and council. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that, Henry. Okay. So, introduction of guests. Obviously, we have Jennifer Gutowski here, our SAVEX director, and it looks like Orlando Ford will be here also. I think also helping with the information there from SAVEX. And let's go on to item number 4, approval of legal action from our meeting May 10th, 23rd. Do we have any questions on the minutes there?
Martin Belden, I make a motion we accept the minutes.
Marlon Ruiz, second.
So, Let's go into roll call.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Cassie Diaz? Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
James Lewis? Melvin Morgan? Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Gary Smith? Georgia Weiss? With 7 votes, the motion passes.
Excellent. Okay, so now on to item 5, the Treasurer's Report. Mr. Barton.
Okay. In May, we started with $2,440.44. We got $1,000 in from VBA 106 as a donation for Operation Exodus. And the Department of Arizona Marine Corps League gave us $100 in May for the same thing. So our balance is sitting at $3,540.44. Any questions?
Well, thank you to those two groups for donating there. All right, so do we have a motion? Pass the Treasurer's Report.
MOWW makes a motion to accept the minutes as read.
MOAA seconds.
So now, roll call.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron? Terry Byron?
Yes.
Cassie Diaz? Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
James Lewis, Melvin Morgan, Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Gary Smith, Georgia Weiss. So the motion passes with 7 votes.
Excellent. Thank you for those donations. We really appreciate their support and everything. Okay, so now on to item 6, committee reports. So up first, we have Ms. Jennifer Gutowski in Orlando to update us on the Southern VA healthcare system.
Hi, everyone. Jennifer Gutowski here. Hope you had a very restful summer. Good to see you all. And I'll just, I think that you all received my monthly report, correct? The stakeholders report? Okay, good. I want to make sure. Good. So I'll just mention a couple of upcoming events that I think are really important for all of you to be aware of. The first is that the PACT Act, one of the new deadlines that's very important to know about is a healthcare enrollment for Arizona veterans who deploy to combat zones. So until 11:59 p.m. local time on September 30th, 2023, veterans who deploy to a combat zone that never enrolled in VA healthcare and left active duty between 9/11/2001 and October 1, 2013 are eligible to directly enroll in VA healthcare. This special enrollment period gives veterans who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other combat zones an opportunity to enroll directly in VA healthcare without first applying for VA benefits. So that deadline is coming up September 30th. So I want to make sure that was on everyone's radar. The next event that I'll mention that's upcoming is we have a very special SAVHIX POW MIA recognition ceremony that we're doing in collaboration with Davis Month and Air Force Base. And this will actually be on our campus, and we are doing or hosting a 5K run, then followed by a POW MIA ceremony honoring our POW MIA veterans. And this will be held this Friday. The 5K run, I think, begins at 0600 or 0615. Anyway, a time that it's very early, followed by the national anthem at 8, and then we'll be doing the recognition ceremony in Building 4 in our conference room A and B. So get your running shoes. I think that will be a very special remembrance. Nice to start to do these different events in person. Also want to mention coming up, we will be having – due to the size, hosting a virtual and in-person mental health quarterly open house on Wednesday, September 20th from 10 until 12. And the purpose for the mental health open house is to really bring together key stakeholders from the community with the goal of enhancing mental health services and addressing mental health care needs of veterans and their family members. So this is really important. Our point of contact is Angela Lopresti, or certainly you can reach out to Orlando Ford, who is one of our interim public affairs officers, and or myself. So anything we can do to help connect for that. Excuse me. The next thing I wanted to mention is in July, we had a job fair. And we gave, gosh, I think well over 150 job offers. And now we're starting to reap the fruit of that job fair. My most recent, we do new employee orientation every 2 weeks. This past one, I had 64 new employees onboarding. And that ranged from a cardiac surgeon to nutrition and food to EMS, housekeepers, nurses, you name it. It really was, ran the gamut of folks. So really excited that we're seeing that, effort come through and seeing folks onboarding, and not a bad timeline. This is 60 days out of when we had the job fair. So really proud of the efforts from that. Some other things to point out. I will mention that coming up October 27th, we have a special 95th anniversary celebration that we are planning on the campus between 5 and 7. If you are planning to attend, please let my public affairs team or I know, because there is limited amount of space and food. But we would love to have each and every one of you there. In fact, I don't know if I think we extended the invitation to the mayor. So I don't know if anyone can check in, but we would love to have the mayor attend as well. So with that, I'll just pause. I know you receive my monthly reports. Any questions that I may answer for any of you? And thank you so much. While you think of it, if you don't mind, Ms. Chair, I'd like to ask Orlando just to also introduce himself so that you all get a chance to know a little bit about Orlando as he's filling in for us in public affairs. So, Orlando, and then we'll turn it over. I do see there's a question in the chat box. Orlando?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Orlando Ford. I'm a I've been in the interim public affairs specialist position for about 2 months now, but I've been with the VA for, 9 years. It's been 9 years now. I'm an Army veteran, Desert Storm veteran. I love working for the VA. Our leadership, Ms. Katowski, I mean, she's a servant leader. She's awesome. I wish we had some of those pictures, Ms. Katowski, from her working with our EMS team to show you guys how awesome she is. she doesn't mind getting her hands dirty, let's say that. And I'm just thankful to be here. If you guys have any questions, concerns, definitely reach out. I'll help as best I can. Thank you.
Thanks, Orlando. Orlando is alluding to this week is Environmental Management Services Week, and I had the opportunity to work alongside many of our EMS workers, and they put me to work. I got to pull trash and clean rooms and even ride the floor sweeper, the Zamboni. I had a lot of fun doing that, but incredible work being done by our team. So, great. So let me answer the questions. Lorraine, I see that in the chat box. You said you had a question first.
Yes, ma'am. So I have a quick question regards to the Friday event, the POW and MIA. I know that I'll be there, and Carol Rundell, our former commander, and she was also actually appointed to this committee prior to my, appointment. But in any event, will you be joining us or even virtual, or you won't be present at all? Because I understand you're probably remoting in right now.
I'm remoting in tonight because after being at work till about 5, I came home to remote in. I will be there. I'll be running on Friday morning, so I will have my running shoes on, and I will be out there and very excited to be present for the event. Thank you for asking. I'm looking
Perfect.
Forward to it very much, and thank you for your support.
Yes, I'll be representing the Disabled American Veterans, our DAVA auxiliary, and Carol and I will meet tomorrow and drop off. Carol is donating the cake and some food trays. I'm taking the paper goods, but Friday morning, I couldn't do the run because you'll probably pick me up. You'll need the EMS to pick me up off the pavement. So, but I will be there, so I look forward to seeing you. It's going to be in conference room A and B for those who want to join us. So go through building one and then follow the pathway to building four, I guess. You'll see conference room A and B, and the national anthem is in the courtyard for everyone. So I would say 7:45 is a good time to be there. Just kind of heads up. And parking lot Q, if you want to park, that's going to be the better option for those who do want to join us. And hopefully everybody goes.
Yeah, thank you. And I will be directing you to conference room A and B for that's building four, not to go through building one anymore. We've kind of rearranged, just to let you know, the building one arrangement, you know, during COVID and also doing some of our physical security assessment, we decided to close those front doors for building one, and we now have staff access into the building in between building 1 and 1A, and then the public wouldn't be able for these events to come directly through conference room A and B, and that'll give the walkway right into the courtyard. So that'll be a shorter walk for those that park in parking lot Q.
Oh, so I see. So let me get this straight, because I was told to go through building 1 and then go to 4. So don't go through the entrance.
Correct.
How do I get there? Do I go through the side? Is it the south side or the north side entry of building
1? Same on the south side, so you'll see it. So
okay.
Park in parking lot Q, and there should be some really good signage that will direct you. It's basically building 4 is directly to the left of building 1. If you're facing, I'm bad at directions, Lorraine. But it'll be very well marked.
Okay, I think I can find it. Hopefully the mayor can join us, or anyone who can represent our mayor. And that would be fabulous. Hopefully we can all get together and show support. But thank you again.
Thank you for your support.
You're welcome. And that's all.
Thank you. And Marlon Reese from MOWW, I see your question in the chat box. So would you like to read it, or would you like me to go ahead and read it?
You could go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you. For those of us already in the SAVHIC system, when and how can we sign up for PACT Act? So great question. Talk to your primary care team if you want to have a better understanding. If you haven't already been screened for toxic exposure screening, talk to your primary care team. Right now, we're about 50% through all of our enrollees in terms of doing the screening that's required for the PACT Act. We are well on our target and working towards it. So doing a lot of outreach events, getting out there, doing different opportunities to do the toxic exposure screening. But certainly, if you have questions, contact primary care, and they certainly will be able to help you as well. So great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and if anyone can go on behalf of VACA, I apologize, I'm out of town. I'm in New Orleans, so my curls are really loving the humidity here. y'all have noticed, so it's like trying to calm them down. But yes, if anyone can go also on behalf of VACA, I would really appreciate it. Take some pictures, send them out so we can make sure we send that out to our other folks. And we appreciate our Southern VA for our support and inviting us to all these different events too. So hopefully we hear back from the mayor and they can join in too on all these upcoming events. Any questions for anyone? Any others? Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Orlando and Jennifer. As always, we always enjoy all your updates from our VA. All right. So now on to item 6B, our Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Do we have Tubby here for that? I don't think I saw him here.
This is Ann Hollis from MOA. I also serve on the foundation, the nonprofit that supports the cemetery, and we had our board meeting last night, so I can give you some current hot off the presses numbers. As of now, there are 3,540 veterans or family members interred at this Veterans Cemetery Marana, 3540. The 28th of October, a Saturday at 10 in the morning, there'll be a Missing in America project. 12 veterans are being interred. And for those who don't know, Missing in America are veterans whose remains were abandoned at funeral homes across the state. And the Marana Cemetery has been designated by the state of Arizona to receive them if no one, no family member steps forward with a preference. Let's see. I think those were the biggies. They are starting a grounds cleanup day on, let's see, I'm not sure I have them. I'll send that information out, but there are 2 days already designated, I think the last Saturday in September and then a Saturday in October. So if volunteers want to come, but I'll send that to the VAC. And if anybody has any volunteers, actually, I think the information did go out already through Terry Byron. So I think that Delma or Robert sent that out earlier this week, maybe even yesterday. So if you have people who want to volunteer, that was actually sent out to the VAC yesterday. And that's all I have. Unless there are any questions.
Can I add? So I saw that construction is going to be completed October 30th of the expansion of the columbarium. Is that correct?
That is the original timeline. So we'll see. It's looking good to meet the deadline. So it will probably be finished a little bit before, because the MIAP veterans are almost entirely cremated remains. So they will probably be the first to go into the niches. So yes, Terry, that is the deadline, and it is progressing very well.
Good to hear. Any other questions or comments?
Ann, MOWW, will the construction that's going on right now at the site impact the MIAP events on the 28th?
Well, the columbarium walls are expected to be completed in time for the MIAP, because most of the MIAP interments will actually be cremated remains.
All right, thank you.
That'd be nice, and maybe a double ceremony there for the opening of the columbariums just in time for that ceremony. Okay. All right. Okay, so now on to item 6C. Do we have anyone here from ACDPS for any updates? Okay. All right, so now we'll move on to item 7, Ordinance 12024, the revised quorum requirements. Robert sent those out with the agenda items. Are there any questions on that?
So just to kind of summarize that, the mayor and council split up all of their boards and commissions into two categories. One category are basically committees and commissions that are wholly appointed by them. And the second category are committees and commissions that are in boards that are mixed, meaning there are appointments by Pima County, nonprofits involved, and things of that nature. The VAC is, of course, category one, wholly appointed by the mayor and council. And the new quorum requirements make it easier for you guys to meet. So whereas as I sit here, I don't know what the limitation is on the number of members the VAC can have, but it doesn't really matter in terms of quorum now. If there are seven appointed members, four make a quorum. If there happen to be only four sitting members and there are vacancies that aren't being acted on by the mayor and council, three members make a quorum. So it's whatever members are sitting at the time, the majority of those members make the quorum. So you can almost always meet. That's the whole point of this. And it's not the VIC, but there were a bunch of other committees and commissions and boards that haven't met for a long time because appointments aren't being made for one reason or another, and they aren't able to get a quorum of the entirety of the required membership. So, yeah, that's the only change.
Okay. Good to know. Anybody have
any questions? So as the judge advocate for the committee, I was reviewing over the bylaws, and I know that Robert's Rules supersedes that kind of item, but we didn't actually have a quorum requirement stated in our bylaws. So my question is, do we need to add it?
I would say, as the judge advocate, you should take a look at that and make a recommendation that you could bring to the other members if you think that's necessary. Yeah.
Okay.
It certainly is usually a part of the bylaws of a board or a commission or committee, right?
Right.
Well, good time to add it, right?
Martin Belden, Terry, I think we should do it exactly as he said, because it's a constantly moving number, and it should just be a majority of the positions that are filled. Because we could have an unlimited number of possibilities for all the veterans groups and associated the one to be members. It could be members. So if we've got seven filled, or, well, let's take the two that are in tonight. If we have nine filled positions, if we have five, we're good. And don't try to lock it down to a given number. Just my thoughts.
Well, and I thought we had been operating at majority consistently already, but I understand the difference is those in attendance rather than all those on the committee. Is that correct?
Well, so where the VAC's concerned with regards to that, well, the VAC's a little bit different. Certain boards might have, 12 members. It's a 12-member board. The VAC, I don't know what the cap is. I have to check on that myself. I'm sorry.
I think it's unlimited.
It is, right? So in your case, it would be the simple majority, sort of, right? Unless those numbers get, yeah, the simple majority. So you don't need to really worry about, like, a 12-member board. If three haven't been appointed, then you need a certain number to make quorum based on the 12-member. That no longer exists. You guys, if it's unlimited, it's the simple majority. You just have to figure out how to word that and to word it so that it's, you know, there's a connection to this ordinance as well, maybe. But really, it amounts to a simple majority.
Okay, well, I will get that ready for next month to add that. But I was looking to see what, I think at one point there was a cap on who all could, how many members we could have. But I think we removed that limitation at some point.
I'll double check. I had it in the back of my head. Somebody had told me 28 when I first came on board here. But I'll verify that. I'll go and look at the language and make sure that I come back with a correct number.
Yeah, I think the only restriction I thought was that you couldn't have now I can't find it. Like the Marine Corps League. There's three detachments in town. So for us, we could have potentially six members, right? But because we're technically the same organization, it's kind of like the way that the VAVS committee is. If there's more than one organization, you can only have two representatives from that organization, doesn't matter how many posts or chapters or whatever.
Okay. That is something that we may have to address then also in the bylaws. I don't think it goes into that specifically, does it?
When it has more than one chapter or post in the logo, so each chapter post or must request in writing membership on the committee. Okay. So that limitation, they just have to individually ask. So we're good.
Any other comments from the rest of the committee? Any ideas, thoughts, recommendations, which I think just, yeah, okay. But good question, though, Terry. So good catch on that. That kind of led us into the item 8 on our agenda. Let's see. Amended back bylaws. I'm trying to think of my other notes here. Do we have anything else besides that for the bylaws?
So this was kind of, Chair, this was kind of tied to the next item on the agenda. And it wasn't really, I don't know why I should have put information there instead of discussion. So there were certain items that were necessary for the purpose of your bank account. And one of them was that amended, bylaws that were amended at the May 10th meeting. And I know we sent out the amended agenda, but we do have a processed and stamped agenda if that's necessary. This was more for information for us on what we need to get to you guys to satisfy the bank.
Okay. All right. So let's see. So
the bylaws have been approved by council?
I think there was last time I had here that we had the bylaws, we got a first from Henry, a second from Martin, and then we had a unanimous vote on those last time.
For but we have to file them with the city, and that's been done, Robert?
So they have been filed. I need to find out if the mayor and council ratified the amended bylaws. I'll do that. I went to our agenda today and pulled the processed and stamped version. I don't know as I sit here. And that you brought that up, that the mayor and council have approved.
They don't. They just have to get filed.
Yeah, so they are filed. Okay. They are filed,
then
yeah.
We're good then.
And what I'll do, I'll send you the digital copy with the stamps and the whatever.
Yeah,
makes
I think that's
look.
What That's what we need for the bank.
Okay. I'll get that to you.
Excellent. Okay. Then do we need to vote on this or anything? That's what I'm trying to figure out now. No?
No.
Right. There's not really anything. Okay. All right. Okay, so now on to item 9, the committee finances. We talked about the VAC checking account and the 501c3 status, and I think there was, where is it? I'm trying to find information that came back for us answering some
questions. Yeah, there's there was an attachment to the meeting announcement about our questions about incorporation and the use of logos. And I'm going to go ahead and continue as judge advocate since it kind of pertains to us. But I also want to remind everybody the chat is meant for us to say we're leaving the meeting or we're coming back to the meeting, not to have conversations or ask questions. So just a reminder about that. So can the VAC incorporate as a nonprofit organization such as a 501c3? Yes, the VAC can incorporate as a nonprofit organization. If they do, they would no longer be a city BCC per se. We would no longer provide support for meetings. The city would still make appointments to the VAC. The VAC would have to follow the open meeting laws. So I guess we have to decide whether or not we want to lose Robert and our newest staff member behind him, or not. And then what are the parameters for the use of the City of Tucson logo by the VAC? Can they use it in conjunction with other veterans and military organizations on printed materials, posters, flyers, invitations, etc.? Can they use it on a tablecloth, banner, signage for events they're participating in? Answer, they could use the city logo, but we would have to make sure it is for event materials that are part of the city parameters or mission. I would say we would need to be a, there would need to be a review for each instance of use. Number 3, can they create their own logo and use it independently or in conjunction with the City of Tucson? Answer, they can create their own logo. However, they cannot use it independently. They are representing the mayor and council and the city of Tucson. CODI, the BAC, and several other BCCs have their own logos. They are mainly used on agendas, meeting materials, etc. If the VAC becomes a nonprofit, they could use their own logo independently. So I guess those are items we need to talk about. Do we want to become a 501c3? There certainly are financial benefits to that. Right now, we don't qualify to go for any grants because we're not a 501c3. So that would be one question to ask the committee.
Yeah, Martin Belden. A question for Robert. Could we apply for a grant from the city?
That is a question that I would have to, put to my my boss. I'm not sure. As a grant writer myself of 25 years. Depending on where, so when you ask whether you can apply for a grant from the city, whether it's the city or it's a federal organization or some private company that has funds they are granting out, they're usually not granting them out to unincorporated organizations. Now, you are an organization of the city, so this is where it becomes kind of strange. But if the city has grant money to give out, wherever that might be, they probably have a bunch of rules that they've set up for who they hand that money out to, and they probably have made no consideration for a body of their own appointment. You know, you'd have to be a nonprofit, or you'd have to fall under some kind of. But I will definitely put that question to the city clerk.
Well, to Robert's
point, sorry, Marty, to Robert's point, I think the City of Tucson grants, a lot of them have to do more with housing and helping indigent rather than groups.
I mean, there might be niche grants that fall under things like that that might be able to assist veterans, though, for example, or support symposiums or conferences or programs or something that support veterans, right? So there might be avenues for that. I think the first step is to find out whether those funding, whether it's under housing or it's under whatever program of the City of Tucson, can be directed to your organization.
Thanks, Robert.
MOWW has a question. Terry, or for Robert, is the current logo that we see on the letterhead a registered trademark of the VAC?
It's the City of Tucson logo.
Okay, because I remember when I first came on board a couple of years ago, and we used to meet physically in one of the meeting rooms, there was a logo on the wall. I guess it might have been the previous logo, maybe of the City of Tucson.
Yeah, they recently being about 8 to 10 months ago or so, revamped the whole City of Tucson logo, and that's what you see now is that revamped logo.
Okay, thank you.
Terry Martin Belden, let's put together a proposal for the 501c3, since we're looking at two different things, and see what the cost is and what it takes to go to the 501c3. Because if we lose the city support, that means we have to find and probably pay for some place to have meetings or have to do virtuals. So why don't we do that? What do you think?
That sounds about right. I mean, when they say we will no longer provide support for the meetings, you know, it's, I'm guessing, not just setting up these meetings, providing this virtual site for us to meet and everything too. So, yeah. We need to find out what exactly that all means. Is there a way to kind of get that clarified, like what exactly they mean by support for meetings? I just want to make sure that there's nothing else that we haven't thought about, right, when we consider these options.
Chair?
Yes.
If I may. So I don't think, so since you're going to be planning this out or putting together a proposal, I don't think, space, for example, will be a problem. As a nonprofit, the city lets nonprofits use their spaces and others, their meeting spaces. Microsoft Teams is free. Really, we don't pay for this. I think where the considerations come, and there's certainly the benefit of being a nonprofit. Lots of people who donate want to donate to the nonprofit, so they get the tax write-off and et cetera, et cetera. The real consideration is, well, one, the whole process of applying for and paying the fees for and actually becoming incorporating, and then keeping records of your meetings, and doing that monthly and yearly and keeping that status. There's lots of people who incorporate, lots of groups that incorporate, and the next year they haven't kept the records they need to, and they're, you know, and then they fall out of, and then they have to meet all the demands of, I forgot who incorporates here in the state, but wherever you are, in order to get back on track or back into good graces. So it's really about taking minutes, keeping your records and your reports in order to keep up your incorporation for the longer term, your financial records and all of that. Some of that you do now, I mean, what we're doing are minutes and reports and things of that nature. And it would just mean that that members of the VAC nonprofit would need to do that.
Okay. Well, and that would include reporting back to the city, right? So we would still need to make sure we file the minutes with the city clerk and bylaw changes. And, you know, I mean, we're still would be the advisory committee to the city, to the mayor and council on veteran affairs. So.
Henry Johnson with this is Henry Johnson. Incorporation, I mean, look at the problem we have just electing officers to take positions and to continue. We've been very fortunate with a treasurer that is a diehard that will stay with us a while, I presume. But let's also consider the fact of the change of people and what we've experienced in the past, just keeping our officers intact. And if you go with a 501c3, you've got to have committed people that are going to stick around and do the jobs like the minutes, the treasury, filing the corporate papers and everything of that nature. It's just, these are some of the things that kind of get overpassed because like Robert said, that one year we incorporate, the next year there's not enough people to do it. The minutes aren't done. The paperwork's not done. And we see it in a lot of our other organizations now. That's my comment.
MOWW, Marlon Ruiz, I agree wholeheartedly with Henry's comments and would add, since MOWW is currently undergoing a similar process of standing up a 501c3, keep in mind that there are certain expectations on the type of C3 that you are proposing. The two that stand out in my head right now are a charitable organization and or education foundation. In either case, there are a list of IRS expectations in either one. In the charitable camp, under IRS rules, if you're going to submit the paperwork for a charitable 501c3, the expectation is that a lot of the funds that come in, as far as donations, have to have a revolving door and come out again to other supported activities. So if the expectation is to gain funding for VAC operations, you might want to take a second look at that.
I guess the question is do we have any other options? You know, have other groups? I doubt it's the first time that any of these similar groups have had this question come up. Do we know, Robert, what some of the other groups may do for funding, donations?
So far as the discussion we've had in office, this is the first VCC that has actually asked this question. In fact, it took the city attorney quite a while to come up with some simple answers. Mm-hmm. So far as I know, most, if not all, VCCs are strictly advisory, so they aren't working to provide any kind of services or community outreach. The outreach they do is to gain information to bring back to advise the mayor and council. They're not generating or there isn't a need for them, so far as they see it at this point or have seen it up to this point, for them to generate revenue. Yeah, we have several powwows at the city clerk's office about this and trying to think of any instance in the recent couple of decades that have passed that we've gotten this kind of a request, and yeah, we haven't. it's new territory.
It is. And thank you for that, Robert. I mean, that's definitely what we want to see is what is the precedent? Is it out there? Does it exist? So good to know that. All right. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Very good questions.
The question would be, does the committee want to see a proposal?
Martin Belden, I'm actually thinking we ought to just table the 501c3.
I was thinking the same thing, but...
Yeah, MOWW, please, if nothing else, maybe do the research to find out what the rules of engagement are before coming up with any proposal.
I think so. That proposal is going to take a lot of effort and might as well use it more to research and make sure the rest of the committee has some input too. Maybe they have some ideas that we didn't think about too, because I mean, these are all really good questions.
Martin Belden, since I'm going to have to start looking that up for our VVA 106 chapter, about making that for our chapter, I have enough problems as it is doing our C-19 between the state, the IRS, etc. So I understand, but let me see what, because it's the same thing it's going to take for us to do it. And I'll give it back to Terry because I know she's going to help me with it. And then we'll see. It's expensive to do. I don't even know if we have enough money to do it right now. So that's my two cents worth.
So, Lorraine Obregon, Disabled American Veterans, I have a quick comment. Just to take it back a little bit, I was a little bit confused in the beginning. I thought we were supposed to ask our questions in chat, but that's completely off topic. Second is that I have to agree that the research we definitely need to do, because, like, we need to be ready to have this 501(c), because if you don't, we don't have the funds, we have to file the IRS forms. It costs about $275 to get it going. And then how much money do we really have and what are we going to use it for? If we're just going to file it to open up, so then we're going to have to open up some kind of corporation, right? Because you can't just have a 501(c)(3) and then what? And how much are we really going to generate to say that it's worth it? Because right now that I know of, I think we individually do fundraisers or things like that to help the veterans. But unless we really have a direction, I would think it'd be worth it. But if we don't really have a direction and we don't have the funds, where are we going to get it from? Unless we can figure out some way in some niche, like you said, Robert, that we can figure out funding from the city, which would be nice. How come we couldn't get federal funding to help our veterans? I mean, there's a lot that we could do. Completely off topic, but one of the things is with the veterans is most of them are struggling. We already know that. So if we have those 501(c)(3)s, is there any way that we can do that besides just having, like, a gathering once every 6 months, or like really use the money for the veterans? Like, what can we do before we put that 501(c) together? I think we really need to have a plan and really research it thoroughly, because we all have 8-year limit on our terms, and who's going to do the filing of the taxes and who's going to take care of that? And then the name is going to change on the corporation. Like, you're not going to have the same officers, and how's that going to work for everyone? So that's all I have to say. It's a good idea, but it's a lot of work.
Henry Johnson here with Marine Corps League. The other thing, too, is that the money that's been donated, was it specifically specified for Operation Exodus? And if so, you can't use it for other things. So funding is going to be a problem.
Very good point. What do our donors expect?
W, I have two suggestions in the research realm. If and when we get to the point of deciding whether we're going to have a formal proposal on this endeavor. The first is on the C3, there are third-party organizations that do all of the legwork to establish and submit the paperwork, the required paperwork for establishing a 501c3 guaranteed approval with IRS. However, as you all already brought up, funding is the issue because that is a paid service if you're going to do that. And then the other one is, do you really want to go through the pain of all of that if the expectations are not going to be met that serve as the motivators for establishing a C3? I'll tell you right now, because we're traversing this minefield, MOWW, it's not enough to say you're supporting veterans to establish a C3 operation. Because the two heavy hitters for in the IRS camp are charitable activities, and the rules of engagement under that rubric, the way the IRS would look at the organization and its proposal. And then the other one is an education foundation. In either case, interjecting veteran support there is a very hard sell and needs to be looked at. So my recommendation would be first, in the research phase, if we want to continue with this, we look at the third-party service providers who are experts at putting this together and maybe get a consultation or a briefing from them as to what the efforts are going to incur to get this done from cradle to grave. And the other one is there are a couple of VSOs in the local area, American Legion comes to mind, that has already traversed this hurdle, and they do have a functioning 501c3 status. And maybe we can invite someone from the American Legion to come out and brief the committee on some of the hurdles and some of the challenges that they came through and how they were successful in completing and what their experiences might have been in doing so.
Henry Johnson with Marine Corps League. I make a motion that we table this until we get the information and the research is done.
I think I agree with that there is some more research to be done. I don't think I do like the idea of a proposal. However, I don't think we have enough information. I think that's what we're all kind of getting at, right, is we don't have enough information. Like, where are we going to start with this proposal? What are we going to include in there? Well, there's still a few question marks that are left there, right?
Martin,
there is a motion that was brought up. We either have to take it away, vote on it, or get a second before we can continue.
Rules of Robert. Seconds. MOWW seconds.
Terry, you want me to do a roll call vote?
Yes.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Motion passes with 7 votes.
Okay. All right. So now we will go on to item 10, consideration approval of members. And thank you, Robert, for sending those nominations in. So we have one from the American Legion for McCulloch Wagner, post 109, on behalf of the volunteer Bruce Hayes to be nominated on behalf of their post for, representing us here. Any questions or comments? Our volunteer, Bruce Hayes. Bruce has been a member of the American Legion for over 13 years, during which he has completed the American Legion Post Service Officer course. Bruce has been a post service officer for the VFW, the American Legion, and the DAV. We're very excited to have him join your committee. Bruce is very dedicated, highly motivated. Bruce will go the extra mile, and we feel he will be a huge success to the committee. Any questions or comments on Bruce?
I make a motion we accept the application for membership of the VAC.
Martin Belden, I second the motion.
Okay. And do we need roll call?
Yes. So Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Motion passes with 7 votes.
Okay, so now on to the next appointment. William Burks, on behalf of the Disabled American Veterans, the Benson Chapter 26. All right, so it is in Tucson. All right, any questions or comments on William Burks' nomination or appointment? All they have is he's a good member in good standing of the DAV Benson Chapter 26.
I also believe he was a member of the VAC for a while.
Good to know, Henry. Thank you for that background information.
And I'd like to make a motion we accept his nomination to the VAC.
Martin Belden, I'll second.
Okay. And now roll call.
Roll call, Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
And Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Motion passes with 7 votes.
Okay. All right. So item 11, we kind of covered it already with the questions that are that Terry, the VAC questions, incorporations, and logos. Do we have any questions or comments on that? Okay. Is there anything to really first or second do a motion on these? I guess just using the new logo, right, from the city of Tucson. Are y'all fine just using that one, or do y'all want to add Veterans Affairs Committee to that, I guess?
Well, I think it's important, Lorraine Obregon, Disabled American Veterans, and pardon me for just abruptly jumping in, but I think it's important to identify ourselves. It's not just City of Tucson logo. We are the Veterans Affairs Committee, and I think that that's what our role is. And, you know, the whole thing is to get our community involved. And so if you're out there in public, you want to make sure you have that out there so they don't have to ask, oh, well, what are you representing or what are you doing, if I'm getting this right? So I would say we should. And actually, the city of Tucson, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, they should already have this stuff for us. It's 2023. At somewhere, there should be a little closet that we should be able to access this stuff, not have to ask for it or see if we have permission. I mean, of course, we're going to ask. We're not just going to go in there. But this is something that we should have had, like Vietnam war era. You know, we should have had this already, especially being that they weren't welcome home. But I would say, is there any way that we can get some kind of a supply? I mean, this is completely off the topic, I know, but is there any way that we can have something that we can have access, part of like how we can have access to the City of Tucson building if we needed to get together or something like that? Is that a possibility where we could have like tablecloths or posters or something if we have public events? Why not, Terry? I mean, this is, you know, we're representing our veterans. Why can't we have this?
Henry Johnson with Marine Corps League. Robert, don't all the departments for the city of Tucson able to just add their name under that logo and seeing we are appointed, don't we fall under that category?
Yes, certainly. So you can use the City of Tucson logo and you can put Veterans Affairs Committee in large text somewhere. What the questions that went before the city attorney were, could you create your logo, your own logo and use it independently or in conjunction with the City of Tucson logo? And as you are formed today, not being a nonprofit, you could certainly do that. So you could have artwork submitted for your VAC logo. And you can use that to do tablecloths, banners, other items you might want for events. For example, you want a banner up at a veterans event. It would just need to be in conjunction, placed in some fashion with the City of Tucson logo.
Yeah, that's not what I understood when I read the incorporation and logos. So it says they can create their own logo and use it independently or in conjunction with the City of Tucson logo was the question. They can create their own logo. However, they cannot use it independently. They are representing the Mayor and Council and the City of Tucson. So several of the other groups have their own logo, but they use it on their agendas and meeting materials. They don't use it out in public, is what I gleaned from that. We do use the City of Tucson logo, and we do have our name next to it as we are the Veterans Affairs Committee for the City of Tucson. But they also, if we're going to use it on tablecloths, banners, and signs, we have to get permission so that we use the materials as part of our mission and within our city parameters. So I don't know what we would need a banner for. I mean, yes, City of Tucson Veterans Day Parade, and we're going to represent the VAC, then we would have the City of Tucson logo, and we'd just put Veterans Affairs Committee under it. But I can't think of anything that we do out in public that we would need our own logo for.
Martin Belden, Operation Exodus.
But we have our letterhead. The letterhead is the City of Tucson Veterans Affairs Committee.
I'm talking about the actual Operation Exodus.
Yeah. MOWW here. Just to expand a little bit on the discussion. True, what Terry says, that there is no need right now because we don't frequent a lot of outreach activities as a committee to advertise what the committee does and who it represents. However, that probably will need to change in the foreseeable future. And so there'll eventually come a time when there will be a need at least for a table, designator or even some type of advertisement that would benefit the city and the committee as well in the long run. So maybe it's worth, just keeping it, on the front burner for potential projects down the road.
Well, we know we can use this city logo. Can we get the official city logo sent to us, Robert? You know, so if we want to do, like, business cards if we're out in the community, right?
Yes, I will send that. I will send that out to the committee, the artwork for the, city logo.
Thank you. That way we know it's approved because it came through them and everything, right? I do kind of agree with I see what Terry's saying. We already have the City of Tucson, and we have, you know, on our agenda, you know, the Veteran Affairs Committee, VAC. Simple in everything. Do we want our own logo? I mean, for just the City of Tucson and then our title, the Veteran Affairs Committee.
Yeah. Martin Belden, there's two things that we do the four chaplains and the Operation Exodus that we pay for. So we should have something there showing that we did it besides the fact that we paid the bills. That's all I'm saying. But we don't have to have a separate logo. Having it as City of Tucson Veterans Affairs Committee, it's got it covered, really. At least I think so, in my opinion.
Yep. But I think it'll help us get more, not just get the word out, but if we ever need, you know, more folks to join and everything, you know, that helps us get the word out when we have some business cards or something, not just letterhead.
Well, and our recruitment letter has the City of Tucson logo with Veterans Affairs Committee on it. And I think we, when we did our fundraising mailing, we mailed to the veteran organizations, and I think that's how we ended up with these two new members, was because we included that invitation letter in with the request for funds for our two projects as well. So I think it's really important that we recruit, and as we get larger and have more members contributing events, et cetera, then we'll, you know, that'll be the bridge to cross later.
So really quickly, Lorena Obregon, Disabled American Veterans again, just to kind of bring this to full circle. I like what Martin said. Thank you, Martin, and everybody else. But the fact that the four chaplains and the Exodus, is there any way that the City of Tucson could provide that for that those particular functions, or does it have to come out of our own pocket?
Good question.
So that's another question I'll have to take to the clerk. And I'll ask that. So by the City of Tucson providing, you mean like the printing for a table? I don't want to say a tablecloth, but a tablecloth,
yes,
for an outreach event, for example, or a banner to hang behind that table, or whatever the collateral stuff is that you might want. I'll find out.
Perfect. And if you do find out and we get the approval, can you go ahead and let us know and put it through so that we have it for the next event? Because I know that there's a lot of functions, but and we don't particularly need our own logo, and I have to agree with that. That's fine. But we do need something to represent, you know, what we're doing. I think that would be important because it's not a brand, but it's putting it out there. And it's just part of the committee. We should already have that. We shouldn't have to, like, you know, wait and see how we get it. And it would be nice if the City of Tucson would provide it, because after all, we are, you know, appointed by city and council. So I would think that they would be kind enough to provide that for us. And then maybe Martin or somebody can let them know what exactly we need. Thank you. That's all.
Robert Martin Belden, I have another question. Since there was an intergovernment agreement between the TIA and the City of Tucson for Operation Exodus, along with Fort Huachuca, and it's in our bylaws to support that, why can't the City of Tucson give us some funds to pay for it?
I will include that as one of the questions that I bring to the clerk tomorrow.
Okay, it's just an idea, because it was definitely always in the stuff over the years. Thank you.
All right, any other questions or comments on that? Excellent. Kind of leads us into item 12 of our agenda, the military lounge.
So this is Terry Byron. I made sure to forward the meeting tonight to Mignol, who is our new representative, because Jesse Allen left the airport, unfortunately. And I didn't get any reply from her, and she's not on the meeting. So it could be that she's not with the airport anymore, so I'll have to do some research to see what's going on, because they haven't reached out asking for anything.
From what I heard from somebody, a mutual friend that knows them, they didn't know about our meeting last time. But if you sent out the invite, Terry, then that's a different reason. So, all right. Any other questions or comments on that one? Okay. All right. So now on to item 13, the Veterans Day Parade.
Another invitation was sent to the chair, Lisette Ekman. I'm sitting on the committee at this point in time, in the process of creating their own, Tucson Veterans Day Parade Foundation to help pay for items and to be a 501c3 so that we can request grants, et cetera, to put on the parade, and that it would be separate from any individual organization is what I'm understanding. So it wouldn't be part of the American Legion any longer. They would be a standalone organization. So we're working on putting stuff out. Mark your calendars, though. The parade is set for November 10th at 11 a.m. The route will be the same. So that's Friday, November 10th, 11 a.m. The route will be the same. As soon as we get the some few things worked out, we will get a notification out and we will get sponsorship requests out as well. So the next meeting is, I think, September 26th. So I should have more information for October. But if you're an organization want to participate, just keep an eye out for those emails.
Excuse me. Any questions or comments? Okay. So now on to item 14, for chaplain ceremony for 2024.
So it's a little early for the four chaplains, but I will reach out next month for a date in February and check with the park to make sure that we can, you know, secure that date and work with the city of Tucson for insurance, because they provide the insurance for that event. On our behalf, being that we're one of their committees. And Chaplain Zink still wants to be involved with the four chaplains, so we'll reach out to him as well. But if anybody has any ideas about what they would like to see at the ceremony, please let me know.
Excellent. And then let us know as soon as you get that date and move, we can get out that letter to the mayor as soon as possible to make sure she has plenty of time to see if she can join them too. So, yep. All right, any questions or comments on four chaplains? On to item 15, taxation for veterans, our discussion there. Do we have any updates on that? I know we had discussed that or brought it up.
This was a carryover from the previous meeting. It was one of those items that we were asked to include for continued discussion. As I sit here, I can't really remember where that discussion ended, but I think it was just kind of brought up in a small way and, yeah, said we'd talk about it after the summer break.
That's right. That was mainly something that Tubby Lewis had brought up in the follow-up for taxation for vets. And that's what I have on my previous notes there. Let's see my other one here.
Can we place that on Henry Johnson with Marine Corps League? Can we put that as a discussion for next meeting once Tubby Lewis is joining us so we can have a foundation on the conversation?
Okay, so we have a motion to table that. Do you have a second?
Martin Belden, I'll second.
Okay, roll call. Martin Belden?
Yes.
Carrie Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
And with 7 votes, the motion passes.
Excellent. Okay, so now, item 16, outreach to the mayor and council. Let me pull the notes again here. Update discussion. Oh, it was about bringing up issues to the mayor and the council. I know, Lorraine, one of the issues you brought up was the homeless population and everything. What else was that? I think that was the main issue that was brought up for that, for outreach to the mayor and council there. Let's see here. I guess one of the things that we talked about was, okay, what can we do to make sure we get some information to the mayor and then put in our ask, right, for some of the issues that we're seeing going on in the community. I guess, what are your thoughts and concerns? I mean, putting together some of the concerns that we see in the community and sending something to the mayor, asking for their comments, or?
So, Lorraine Obregon, Disabled American Veterans, thank you for addressing that. And yes, I think I spoke with about both the taxation, which we already voted on that, but the homelessness and really the inaffordability of the practicality of these individuals that are struggling, like they're not able to have housing that's affordable for them. As you know, everything kind of skyrocketed with the COVID. It seems like businesses have either shut the doors permanently or the marketing or the housing market has really gotten out of control. There's no ceiling on rent. It just seems it's not attainable for a lot of people. So I know that we have the small houses and the casitas that are probably a project that we're looking at in the city of Tucson, but I was mostly concerned about the homelessness and the inaffordability because there's a lot of homeless. And I think that even with the PACT Act and all of this other stuff that's really helping our veterans, I think there's a big population that goes kind of under the radar because they're not really I don't think they have the resources. I don't think they have internet. I don't think they have somehow to reach out to get these benefits. So I don't know. There's not like a field officer that can provide social services to them and bring them in. So my concern was, what are we doing? And can't we do something more like with federal funding? There's got to be a federal funding, like even for us with the Veterans Parade and anything with the veterans, we should be able to have it. This is DOJ. This is military. These are our finest, our men and women. How come we don't have federal funding? And what do we need to do? Their voices is heard through our voices. And that was my concern because it's not getting any better. It's getting worse.
The one thing that I know that our veterans, what's it called, the Veterans Club of Marana, they're working with their, I guess, their Chamber of Commerce, but also through their Lions Club. I guess they have some housing there in the Marana area, and they're actually about to break ground in the Phoenix area to help with this, the homeless population. I can't remember if it's going to be specifically vets or they're going to make sure that vets are also included in there. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask if that's something that maybe we are doing here. I did hear that the city of Tucson did buy one of the Motel 6s off of I-10 to help with some of the homeless population. So who is that going to help? Who's going to be the priorities, you know, for getting some of, you know, those rooms or, apartments or whatever it is that they're going to turn them into and everything. Maybe that's a question we can ask, you know.
Yes. And pardon me for interrupting, Lorraine Obregon again from Disabled American Veterans. And I was thinking more on the lines of why can't our city buy like an old abandoned hotel? Or I know that they're renovating the Tucson House or whatever, but we're talking, we need to have something quick. Like this is like an urgency to take care of this problem because it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. So we have to figure out what we need to do to be able to reach those masses of people and apologize. penis is barking in the background. But in any event, that was really where I was going with that, because if we wait to build these houses, I hate to say this, but it's the truth that we're going to lose a lot of our veterans. We're going to lose a lot of them because it's not, you know, they don't wait. People are dying of hunger. We're like the biggest, I would say probably one of the biggest problems we have is behavioral health. And besides that, we throw away a lot of food in America. I don't know why we can't figure out a way to commercially get to these grocery stores and get to these big corporations that can help even with that. I know there's liabilities if they get sick or whatever, but we're wasting a lot of resources. And really, the people are the ones that are suffering. And it's really our veterans, because I think that it hasn't been just recently. We're talking decades of them suffering for getting services. So this is what we're seeing. And we continue to do nothing about it. It's really going to morph into something really dark, because it's going to be out of control. It's going to be more and more and more people. And you've seen that wherever you drive. I mean, I've seen it in Washington, D.C. I've seen it in big cities. I've seen the erosion of it. But here in our city, we need to help our veterans. Can't we have the mayor some kind of abandoned building and us repairing it even with our taxpayers' money and house some of these veterans, some of these people? And can't we tap into the DOJ and the military federal funding? I mean, is there no way that we can get money, grant money, to like immediately help the situation?
Henry Johnson with Marine Corps League. Lorraine, I think you're using a shotgun at a flock of birds. We need to stay localized. We need to organize and get our thoughts together. And instead of sending it via email, we, the committee members, should attend a mayor council meeting where we can get on the agenda and present it directly to them. But as I say, you've covered local, state, federal, and so on. Our concern here is the city of Tucson. I know the problem's widespread, but instead of using a shotgun to go after a whole flock of things, let's key in on one and let's get that done. That's my opinion on what we're doing. So basically what I'm saying, let's decide what we want to do locally and then go from there.
What if we also ask the city mayor, what are they doing? Like, just asking, like, hey, what's being done, or what are some plans, you know, to help, at least because we're the Veteran Affairs Committee, to help the veterans in the city of Tucson regarding the issues of homelessness, keeping a roof over their head, that type of thing. So that's one of the asks that we could have, Lorraine. And then depending on if they reply or not, or what information comes back, then we can do like Henry, and then kind of strategize, okay, how do we need to attack this issue? What can we do? Right. Where do we see the plans or lack of plans, whatever, failing or needing to be fixed to help the issues that we are seeing, you know, from our organizations out in the city of Tucson? Okay. What do y'all think about that, or any other comments or anything to add to that? Yes, Robert.
This is Terry Byron. And I think we need to try and get a representative from the mayor's office at one of our meetings so that we can ask them that information. And I think part of that was that our secretary was going to send a letter to the mayor and ask for quarterly visits or monthly visits or every other month from either herself or one of her representatives. Because how, you know, other than storming the Capitol, so to speak, how are we going to get our concerns to the mayor and council?
Sorry, Chair. So I was just going to make a comment. I meant, and yes, you can go to the mayor and council meetings. Certainly, you know, there's a short platform for everybody to go up and provide their 2 cents, but your organization is above that. You are advisors, in a way, to the mayor and council. So whether you are doing community outreach and collecting information from the community on, you know, to identify the needs of veterans and narrow that down even more specifically to the most urgent needs or the needs you want to focus on, or whether that looks like you guys communicating directly via letter to housing, to the HUD programs and the low-income programs and a lot of the social services that fall under them and asking them for their data on, and they certainly collect data, and it, almost every form you fill out has the veterans questions on them. So they might have some data that would be useful to you. As I sit here, I don't know the breadth of Tucson departments, but there are certainly other departments you might also include in a letter just to collect data, just to collect information that you could then discuss and bring to the mayor and council and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is data we've collected from housing or the community or wherever you've gotten that information from, and bring it to them. And I meant, you know, you don't need to relegate yourselves to going and sitting in the audience, although that's effective sometimes, but sitting in the audience at a mayor and council meeting, you can communicate directly with the City of Tucson departments as the Veterans Affairs Committee for the mayor and council, and then in return advising them or providing them your thoughts on these issues and what you'd like to see. And certainly, I know before the summer break kicked in, one of the members had suggested visits to ward offices, council members, which is also effective. Yeah, sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you. Lorraine Obregon again from Disabled American Veterans. I think that's really good. And I think the stats themselves, you can pick it up and you don't even have to say names, but hospitals themselves, you know, there's always demographics and there's always the question of veterans. So, you know, the majority of, you know, let's say 5 out of 10 or 9 sometimes out of 10, you know, are veterans. And when there's a specific address, some of them have general delivery. There is no address for them. So that in itself will tell you, can I send out like individual email? I guess that would be improper. I guess it's probably a written letter to the councilman, different councilmen, ask them, is that what you're proposing for me to do? Is like, because I'm really passionate about this. I think that we need to do something about it. It was something that my son always wanted to do. Of course, my son's not here anymore, and I want to make sure that our veterans are taken care of in my community, at least. I want to set a precedence that we are making a change. We're making a difference in their lives, not just, you know, having our annual parade or, and I'm not demeaning that by any means at all. I mean, at all. I just say, thinking that I want to see, I want to know that I've accomplished something, that I made a change in somebody's life, that they have a roof over their head because of this conversation, that they're not hungry tonight, that they're cool or they're warm or whatever it is. So can I send them each a letter? And how do I get a letterhead? Do I send it to you first and get that approved? Or how? What is the process for me to get started on that? Because I would like to get real feedback from our councilmen and see if our Mayor Romero will actually, you know, give us a little bit of insight with, you know, what's going on with, other than, of course, you're a great asset for us. And I'd hate to not have you, because then if we have our own meetings, we're not going to really know the inside information. So how would I go about that?
Excuse me a minute, Lorraine. Lorraine, excuse me a minute. Henry Johnson here. My battery's going low. I'm going to be losing and cutting out. And I really like to get to the end of the meeting. I think we're beating a dead horse right now. And as Robert said earlier, he's going to send us the graphics. And yes, you can put it on a letterhead and mail it, or you can put it in an email. You are a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee. And at this point, ladies and gentlemen, I must say farewell. My battery's gone. Good night.
So, yes, Robert will be sending not just the logos, but letterhead and stuff that we can send out. Lorraine, I believe you're also our secretary, too. Ask questions. You know, I mean, I definitely want to know, what is the status? I will tell you from past meetings, we have asked that question, and I don't think we've gotten responses before. But I want to still at least, with the new committee and everything, say that we asked and still try these other avenues. You know, nothing says just one tactic. Mm-hmm. You know, we're military. We can bring it in from all these different areas and see how we can get this information, you know, and hopefully we won't have to, you know, keep asking too long and stuff for this information. But that's all we can do is just document that we're asking. Okay. Yes, Robert.
As a point of order, we now no longer have quorum. Henry's still listed as a guest. So I guess we could continue the meeting until his icon disappears.
Okay.
But when it does, we will no longer have quorum.
Okay. All right. Any other questions there on that item? On number 16 there, outreach to the mayor. Okay. All right. So now let's move on to number 17, VAC future items. And I'm sorry, that is item 17. I was grabbing last month's. So we'll just go around and see what we have for ideas for future VAC items.
Martin Belden, VVA 106, nothing.
And Terry Byron, I believe everything's already been tabled by motion for future, and the rest are standing committees, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, Ann Hollis, no inputs at this time.
MOWW has a couple. Quickly, an invitation to each and every one of you and the Veterans Affairs Committee as a whole. Just got back from Annapolis a couple of weeks ago, and the MOWW National Headquarters did approve the City of Tucson hosting the 2025 National Convention.
It'll Marlon, sorry, this is Terry. That's under the
item 18 for current events.
You got an item 18.
Yeah, current events. I thought this was current events. I think. Yeah, I think it got skipped actually.
No, we were on item 17, the VAC future events.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'll wait.
That's all right.
Before somebody else's battery goes out.
I know.
I think Martin Belden, I think Henry's dropped out.
He has. We no longer have quorum, so we would need to end the official meeting here. If you guys wanted to use this to discuss anything else amongst yourself. Well, no, I apologize. That is not proper.
All right. So due to loss of quorum, of course, we will end the meeting as of 7:37. Yes, Jim.
So we don't have anything more to vote on, so we can't finish the meeting?
No. Yeah.
Not officially, but we can stay on unofficially. Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
no. Actually, you know, the only time the members can meet more than two, I believe, right, is when it is under the auspices of an official meeting and when there is no quorum that ends. The only items that were left were the future agenda items. We have the carryover events that will always be on the agendas. If you want to throw out any future agenda items, I'll make sure I include them, though. We're just ending slowly. Because I will have to do that draft agenda. So, or you can email those to me. And they all go before Chair Carrie. She will review it and make amendments as necessary. So if you want to email any future agenda items, yeah, be glad.
Yeah, I was just with Marlon. I had some current events that I wanted to invite everybody to, but I think I've sent all of them to you, and you've sent them out. So
okay,
great.
Okay. All right, Martin Belden, you guys have a good one. I'm gone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone. Good night. God bless you all. Be safe.
You too.
Bye. See you next time.
Nice to see you, Terry.
You too, Lorraine.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.